Welcome, wherever you're listening, and whatever time it is at the moment, to Everton Fans Forum's podcast. This is episode 4 of a new series of podcasts, and today your host is myself, David Whitley, and I'm joined by some of the other forum members, Steve Eli, Kieran Riley, and Tony Sampson, all the way over from Chicago. So, first of all, you all right, lads, all safe?
Yeah, Sam, mate.
Yeah, good.
All good, thanks, Dave. All good, thanks.
So, as we drive forward as a forum, we continue to look to modernise how we communicate and really how Blues, as our constituency, like to be communicated to in 2020. Of course, we've got the minutes, but this should showcase engagement differently and open out with opinions on topics as they are raised and discussed with the club. Today, we will discuss the virtual meeting that we had with the club on Thursday, the 25th of June. Obviously, the meeting notes will go out as normal, but this will put a bit of meat on the bones for the Blues out there. We want to know a bit more what's going on behind the scenes. So, without further ado, lads, I'll start with a pressing matter, which is how we can actually watch the Blues, because we're in uncharted territory at the moment. And as a season ticket holder, I want to watch the game. So, Kieran, any advice? How do I watch the game coming up, which the next game is Leicester?
Yeah, so, of course, we've all wanted to know how we're going to watch them. So we've been in contact with the club, and they've told us that each season ticket holder will be sent their own unique code to access Sky Sports via Now TV to watch the Leicester and Tottenham games. Now, an important point to make is that you don't need to have access to Sky in particular. You can download Now TV on your smartphone, laptop, or any tablet device, and you can enter the code there and it'll let you on. If any season ticket holder hasn't received their code or is having any problems of accessing, get in touch with us, the fan centre, and we'll do whatever we can to help, and we'll make sure you watch the game, because no one wants to miss out on watching the Blues, eh?
Definitely, mate. At the moment, I'm really feeling it, not being at the grounds and being around the Blues.
Yeah, same, yeah.
It's great that option's there.
I must say as well, we did ask if there was anything going to be similar for when we're on BT Sport as well, and the club say they are looking into that, and hopefully they'll have more information on that soon. So hoping for the same sort of thing with what they're doing on Sky. So it is open.
Yeah, I think the email come through today, actually this morning, from Everton. So they must be batting them out, and some lads from the fan group I'm on, they've all received theirs as well, so it's good to hear. And obviously, I think you've just alluded to it, you know, if there's any issues, you can contact the club fan services themselves, can't they? And they can sort it out for them.
Yeah.
So that's how you watch the Blues. How the actual stadium will look, because we haven't got all of us bouncing up and down with limbs and the ground, is another issue. And it's something we've been working hard on. Obviously, Stevie, as part of the atmosphere group, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, we are. Myself and Paul Quirk and Jazz and Dawn and yourself. We've had a fair bit of good feedback on Twitter to say that the makeup of the stadium looked pretty good, especially the lower Gladys Street. That looked good, and there was a lot of comments regarding the international flags for the players, which should give the players a bit of a boost as well. We had a little bit of a Zoom meeting the other day with firstly between ourselves, and then we got in touch. We had a forum meeting which was brought up at, and you know, we've been involved in some little minor tweaks with the club. They said, like, you'd probably see a bit of a difference in the Leicester game. What we've asked for is, we don't know where the fan flags will be allowed at this present, because of they need a fire label safety certificate or something like that. But however, we've got a lot of flags that are in the stadium which have already been passed. So we're looking to try and get them out. Just a bit more colour, make the stadium look a bit more lively. I know we've got the Sea Killers in place, but there's no, you can't beat it, a good few proper flags hanging around, dare I say. We asked about them being draped over the Gladistries rather than tucked over the seats. And that was always the plan. But again, the club were limited, the hands were tied with time. We've also asked for the big screen to be a bit more prominent. We couldn't see it much. And also the info bar that run across the main stand had a lot of Chinese writing on, which we believe was reaching out to our Chinese fans in the Far East, which was a message to them in support of the COVID. But what we've asked for on that is, could we have some more like, especially Blues who passed away with this horrible virus, could we have their names and some recognition to the NHS going across there more often? So the club are looking into that, but they've only got a limited time space within the allotted time slot to do that. So they are looking into it. It was a positive meeting the other night. There was a few negatives, but there was the positive sort of outweighed it. We'd like to see more flags, especially in the park end, looked a bit sparse. The Al Razimo flag looked like he was out on his own up there, you know what I mean? So we've got a few ideas and suggestions, like to try and build it up, you know, especially the railings at the back of the park end. That could do it brightening up a bit. But I would have liked to have heard YMCA played.
I think it will be good if we get some of the other flags there, because I know a lot of the US Blues have got they have their flags out, you know, in the banners at the park end normally, which has obviously been taken down. So I know that they'll be made up to see some of those back up again. And Steve, you know what you said about the screen as well. I know that, you know, there's been fans from Malaysia, San Diego, there's been a few Irish supporters and Southern California that they were on the fan wall and have also sent in their logos. But as you said, I don't think they could quite see that unless they caught a glimpse of the screen, you know, when we had a corner or something. So yeah. It'll be good to see that a little bit more prominently, I think, because, I know from some of the conversations I've had, certainly with some of the US Blue, you know, getting them to see their own logos and some of their familiar faces on the screens is, it's good.
It was nice to see the US Toffees. Was it the US Toffees flag in the park?
Yeah, USA supporters.
Yeah, that was the big one. Yeah, that was a big one there. Yeah, no, that was it was good. That I think we tweeted that one out actually just to acknowledge that.
What I noticed on the Norwich game away, they had scarves tied all around the dugout, and even they had scarves, you know, like on the railings. Looks like the fans have gone in and tied the scarf, not the fans gone in, but allowed the fans to pass the scarves and to be tied. And it looked really good. And we'll get there. You know, our hands were tied with the time limits over the...
Yeah.
Whether we were going to play the derby at Goodison or in a neutral venue. So, you know, the fan services, Christine, Rachel and Scott worked hard on it, and they were happy with it to go, you know, the way it was.
I think the big positive you can take from it, as well as what was immediately obvious, is that they wanted to improve it as well. They could have just said, well, that's what it is, and, you know, it's no one wants to be in this situation, but that's, you know, but like always, they're listening to the fans, and it's been nice to be part of that process. You know, obviously from square, while we reached out to the fans as a forum, didn't we, online? Mm-hmm. And obviously collated that feedback initially to the club, and that helped form part of that first game, albeit that a Merseyside first of having a Merseyside derby behind us. But you could see that feedback that we channeled from the fans had been listened to by the club. And sometimes it's a big thing for us as a forum, isn't it, that the club are listening to what messages we are passing on and collating on behalf of the fans.
And it's nice to get the message out there that we're not just sitting there. We are challenging the club. We are, you know, we do engage with them. Sometimes we don't agree with them. They don't agree with us. But it's good that we sit together with the club and, you know, try and do our best to listen to the fans and deliver what they're asking for. You know, I mean, down to one of the, I think it was a 15-year-old kid who asked for the siren that come through the atmosphere. Meeting. And then I think it was Paul Quair who mentioned it at one of the atmosphere meetings, and it went from there. And yeah, you know, something just as simple as that.
It just took off straight away, didn't it? And it just gave everyone a real buzz, I suppose. And
It's great.
It's a very good change. Very good change.
And it's little ideas like that that we're trying to improve
as well, as you alluded to, Steve. Like Christine and Rachel, the whole engagement team work really hard in what they do. And it's something that I noticed in the meeting we had as well. They said that for the Leicester game and other home games, they're just going to try and add little things or change little things to make each home game look uniquely different as well, which I think was really good, because a lot of clubs, let's be honest, are probably just going to leave what they have there and maybe change it, but maybe not. And I think that's where we're different a bit as well. We'll just keep improving all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so new for everyone as well, isn't it? You know, the circumstances that we're all in, you know, are obviously far from normal. So, you know, Dave, like you said, you know, the fact that they wanted to listen and get some different ideas and sort of how to keep it, you know, in line with the Everton way, I think was, you know, was recognising. And also that he didn't have much time, because once the games were confirmed, you know, the time scale to get everything sorted was pretty, you know, pretty tight. So, you know,
we were definitely at a disadvantage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's important we don't lose sight of that.
And so, just how was it perceived stateside, the stadium?
So the feedback I got was that it was pretty good, actually. And don't forget, Steve, that, you know, we're used to watching the games on the telly. We're telly clappers over here, like, you know.
You know, over here as well.
So, you know,
towards Everton.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, we're used to sort of watching screens, and obviously you miss the atmosphere that you get through the telly from the crowd. But you know, we're used to that. I mean, I think the difference for us has been, you know, we normally meet up in a pub. So there's normally big groups of us that get together to watch the game. And that's, you know, that's sort of our atmosphere, if you like, because it's there. It's like you, when you go to the match, you know, you go with your mates, you go for a pint and whatever. That's what we do here in the bar. So that's the bit, I think, that we've missed. I think people have got different views on the sort of the piped in crowd sounds and all that sort of stuff. I actually didn't find we listened to it with my lads, and we didn't have the crowd sound on. We turned it off. I actually quite liked just the shouting of the players. Didn't find that too bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secrets, because it was ministered that, but as a forum, we were behind everyone else raising our concerns about football coming back. And I think we've had a few feedback about football, about fans and all that kind of stuff. And we're Blues like everyone else. We get it. We you know, we've raised these concerns with the clubs in square one, and it is just a case now of getting the best version of what we can in a bad situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like you say there, Tony, you said, you know, whether it be home or abroad, we're all missing football as we know it. It's not the product that we know. And that's all it is at the moment, is just getting the best possible scenario that we can out of a bad situation. You know, that's the biggest difficulty we've had as a forum, I would say, I don't know if you agree, is, you know, firstly, representing the fans in the right way. We put the right messages to the club at the right times. But also then we have to realise that, right, going ahead, so let's put our other hat on and let's now try and work on how it's going to look. We've got some great, you know, banners in this club. The Gladys Street 1938, some of the banners they produce, we're lucky to have them in the fan base. You know, they're a great set of banners that they produce as an artist there. And if we can get that into the match day, we can make it bold, we can make it Everton, we can make it unique. I think we would get to where we need to be. And Steve, you and Paul, you can tell you've been on the atmosphere group for some time. You know, you're so passionate about trying to get it right, aren't you, for the fans?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, and I think hopefully if this safe standing comes into play, like in Germany, that creates a better atmosphere as well, because when pre-season, when we went away to Mainz, people were stood up, you know, and people, they did get involved, you know what I mean? Hopefully, I mean, you look at the likes of Crystal Palace, they've had a good go. They're doing a good job, you know what I mean? But you look at the Germans, they've got the choreography of it all spot on, you know what I mean? And it'd be great, it'd be lovely to see Everton get into that, you know? And we've got to get out of this mindset, it's cop-out behaviour. I mean, people bring flags in and people say, oh, that's cop-out behaviour. It's not. It's about supporting Everton Football Club, wondering what they're doing across the park.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of young lads there who were so enthusiastic and so they're trying so hard to get it going. And it was disappointing at one time when they were told to sit down by stewards and things like that. But the girls, Christine and Rachel, are working through that to try and, you know, get them an area where they're allowed to sing and, you know, do what they do best and support the club.
And I think you've been working a lot, you know, obviously looking to engage the originals, like the club, haven't you? And get these fan groups involved. And, you know, I agree, they're a fantastic group of lads. And the fans that we've got in this club, we should feel really special to be forum members and represent them as such, as their voice. Fingers crossed. Stevie, you and Paul put a lot of work in to make sure that we can, you know, get Goodison looking as good as it can, and hopefully in Leicester we start to see improvements.
If anyone's listening out there who's got an idea, you know, we've had guys ringing in with old-fashioned Australian songs and everything, and we listen to them and you think, they could work. But I'll go back to the alarm, the siren. If anyone's got any more little ideas like that, give it to us.
Yeah, there's definitely no bad ideas, is there? We'll listen to everything that comes forward. Even Mr. Testicles in the Gladys Street.
Oh.
We definitely miss our Mr. Testicles in the Gladys Street for sure. Thanks for that. Tony, you've just crossed onto the international scene, and that leads us nicely next onto the agenda item. As the international leads, can you give us a bit of an update what's going on? Because there's been a lot of work going on there behind the scenes as well, hasn't there?
Yeah. So the main update was around this survey that we did at the end of April, beginning of May. So, you know, for those that might not remember, we went out to sort of as many of the supporters' clubs abroad as we can to get their views on, you know, A, what it's like to be a supporter abroad. You know, what are the issues? Because, you know, they're obviously different to, you know, you fellas that are, you know, in the city and, you know, match day going Evertonians. You know, we watch, our experience is a different one. Albeit, like, you know, we love Everton as much wherever we are in the world. You know, we just watch it and experience that interaction in a very different way. So, but what we wanted to do, we wanted to just get a better, just understand more about, you know, what it was like and what were the issues that were important to them. So we finished that survey, and, you know, we've now met with the club a couple of times now to, first of all, just share sort of some of the top level findings whilst we've been doing the analysis. But then the club then asked us to come back again and maybe spend a little bit more detail so that they could, you know, we could share some of the feedback and some of the ideas and some of the concerns that we'd had through the survey, so that can then inform some of the plans that they're going to, you know, they're going to drive forward for next year. So that first of all, that was really good. The fact that they wanted to hear what the results were. And look, I've had a bit of a feeling for this since I've been out in Chicago for a year now. But I didn't quite understand sort of how far and wide Evertonians are. So, like, we had responses from Blues in 27 different countries. So it's like when you go on holiday, isn't it? There's always an Evertonian somewhere. You know, it just shows the sort of the diversity and the breadth of Evertonians all around the world. The majority of those are based in the US. So I think out of the respondents, you know, 40-odd% were from the US. And I think we know that there's like an established network here. So we spent a bit of time at the last meeting just updating on sort of, you know, not just what some of the feedback was from that, but then also I think what we want to do now is to take that feedback and then, you know, share with the club, and we started to do this, so like some recommendations on actually what can be done to address it. So, you know, we heard things like, you know, just sort of, you know, how we could maybe improve sort of the brand visibility of Everton internationally. So, you know, you see lots about other clubs, Premier League clubs out, particularly, and I'm going to use the US as an example. So, you know, what can we do to do that? How can we support some of the existing supporters clubs? So how can we help them spread the word about Everton, build their membership base, make sure Everton's known in and about everywhere so that we can, you know, get as many Blues as, involved as possible. You know, things like actually tickets. So, you know, you might not think that that's something that would come up, but, you know, there are loads of Blues that travel a long way to come and watch Everton, even from abroad. So, you know, and getting tickets for games isn't always that easy. So, again, you know, we've got ideas around, you know, what can the club look at and what can we look at to, you know, to try and improve, you know, that experience. As I said, the retail and the merchandising was a big one as well. And then generally was like, how do we engage this massive community of Evertonians that, as I say, is spread about the world? Because, you know, one of the comments we got, which I thought was, it was like, it just summed it all up, really. They said, you know, they want to be part of Everton. They don't just want to be a spectator in another country. And I just thought that summed it up, really. So we're going to be publishing the results actually imminently. So we'll be doing that in the next few days, you know, with some of the recommendations that we've started to discuss with the club. And then hopefully now it will give us a platform to sort of keep an eye on those issues, make sure fans can get involved, and then, you know, hopefully they can be addressed. So so look, it's the first time we've done it, and I think, again, you know, fair play to the club. You know, they've wanted to understand more about what they've heard so that they can act on it. So, you know, looking forward now to sort of translating it into a bit of action.
Fantastic. So it's been great. What would be a lovely thing is to get the club over there on a pre-season tournament, you know. Oh. Like a couple of years ago.
I think if you could buy me a bevy for every time someone said that to me, then you'd be skint, mate, because everyone I speak to sort of talks about sort of getting people over there. So that's something actually that, you know, we've put forward to the club is, you know, even if they're not over here in pre-season or in other countries, is, you know, how can we, you know, maybe look at maybe doing some sort of international event that involves people from the club. So again, you know, that attracts people in. So, you know, you're on the right lines there, I think, mate.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave.
No, I was just going to say fantastic. And I think if you take anything from that, it was, I'll just clarify this, Tony, that was done independently as a forum. And it was something that you drove alongside Joe, that you wished to do independently as a fans forum. And it's only really, obviously, the club have been involved in it towards a later stage, sharing, you know, the feedback and providing some details. But it was something driven by the fans forum itself, independent.
Yeah, that's right. It, you know, it's not a, it wasn't a club activity. They obviously knew that we were doing it, and we obviously said that, you know, we'd want to share what we heard back, because that's important, because then they know sort of, you know, what fans care about and, you know, what their issues are. But yeah, you know, myself, Joe, Robert Eagleton as well, who's part of the international working group in Jazz, and others chipped in as well as we went along. So, but yeah, no, it's been good, and I think, you know, I think there's a bit of momentum building. So, you know, we've got to now seize on that and make sure people stay involved.
Just over to yourself, Steve. Do you have a quick update there on that as well?
On the international ones.
Yeah, you were just about to say something.
Yeah, it's not so much as well as the international ones. I mean, we have actually spoke with the club as a forum to discuss going out and reaching out to, you know, our own independent supporters clubs in the UK as well. So there was a suggestion that we went and actually visited when they have a meeting. Maybe a couple of the forum members could go to one of their meetings and, you know, do a bit of a Q&A, what we've done, what we do as a forum, how we work as a forum, you know, and if they've got any, then they can see us face to face. Do you know who we are? If they've got any issues that want, you know, raising, we can help raise it. And I think it's not as great, as fantastic as it is reaching out to every supporters club across the world. Let's not forget our own and on our doorstep as well. Let's keep them involved and let's keep the family tighter.
Yeah, definitely. Home and abroad, wherever you may be as a Blue. You know, you're by our sides, we're shoulders to shoulder as a family. And you know, the more we can as a forum continue to strengthen them bonds and make people feel as close as they can to this great football club that, you know, that we've been born to support, the better. And it's interesting you should say that, because obviously the Dixies was another discussion point. Obviously, we were looking to make that, you know, we wanted to get that as an event as such and get, you know, bring Blues together. It does appear that it's going to be a digital format now. But Tony, you know, obviously you as an international fan, I think you said straight away that the international fans quite like the Dixies Awards, don't they? I'm watching it.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this in our first meeting, David, after you and I had first got on. So I remember it was like one of the... actually remember it was our first meeting and we were sat next to each other, and I remember it didn't kick off in the meeting, but there was some very sort of strong views in that meeting, because I remember, you know, some, you know, we were really keen on having sort of, you know, a physical event. Obviously, this was before COVID, and it was a good insight for us in the forum, wasn't it? Because, you know, it wasn't just people sort of sat back sort of nodding what the club was saying. You know, they had some strong opinions about really involving the Evertonians in an event. So it's always stuck with me, that one. But yeah, you're right. I think obviously because it's going to be a digital thing, then the opportunities, I think, to get, you know, some of the, you know, supporters abroad involved is, you know, is a really good one. So again, we, you know, we actually, you know, we've sent in some ideas as an international group, which have now been incorporated. The events group that Anne-Marie runs, she's now shared that feedback on, you know, what's the best way in which we can involve supporters in the planning of that, of, you know, the Dixies event, and, you know, get some prominence in that. And I think the club were due to meet this week actually, on sort of, you know, so they took on board our ideas, and I think they had a content and a planning meeting this week. So, you know, we'll hear what they've got in store, and they'll have taken on some of the ideas to get people involved.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. And I think as a forum we've been pushing, haven't we, for some form of fan engagement, however that may be, because at the end of the day, you know, as much as we should celebrate Everton at the moment, for me, we're not winning trophies. So I always like awards to be about winning trophies. So at the moment, the ones who should be getting the trophies are the likes of some of the great fans that we've got out there. But yeah, you know, any way that we can get the fans involved, the better for me. So just moving on to the next piece that was discussed on the meeting, was obviously we had some news, didn't we, in between meetings, which was that the worst kept secret that Hummel with our new kit manufacturers. And Kieran, I think you've had social media, had some engagement with Hummel as of the forum. How have you found them?
Yeah, I've been quite impressed with them. Really easy to connect with. And I mean, it's early days, but I really feel like, you know, Hummel are really becoming, understanding what Everton are about, what our fans are about, because they're always in contact. I mean, we've seen on social media recently, didn't we, in the last few days, they've been flirting with fans about the new kit and release dates. Not that they've given it, but, you know, they've been flirting about what it might look like. And I think they're really capturing what Everton's about and what the fans are about. And not to mention the connection with Alan Ball helped us, I suppose, that not many, I don't think, realised until it was pointed out by the club and Hummel themselves. But they've been flirting with fans on Twitter lately, as I said. And you know, we've been told by the club and them that the home kit reveal will be in July and available to pre-order in July. Now, don't shoot the messenger here. I mean, it's not... it's not concrete, but it does look like it'll be early July when they do reveal it, because with the flirting that they're doing lately. And, you know, they're eager to communicate with us and the fans. You know, it's only shows when we had an exclusive Q&A with them, which you can see now on the website and on our social media. And also, you know, we're hoping to discuss with Hummel lately soon with fan feedback of the kit as well. But yeah, I'm really happy with them personally, up to now anyway.
Yeah, it's
I'm lucky myself. I mean, I had the pair of the boots, the white boots, and I was terrified to kick the ball in them. Do we require possession? You know what I mean.
Were your teammates terrified as well, Steve?
No, they weren't. No, they were all better than me. They were all bigger than me. But when it was muddy, you wouldn't kick the ball with them.
Fantastic. Where were you playing there, Steve? Centre fireworks, or were you?
Me? No, I was just a minder coach most of the time. Yeah, and I used to play on Zwerry Outfield, not a screen.
There you go, mate. I bet you've got some memories there.
I bet you was always picked first with the one with the white boots.
Like I said, I was always getting told to mind the coach, mate. Believe it or not.
It's an important job, that, mate.
Yeah.
Especially when they all had sarnies in the pockets.
Thanks for that, Kieran, in relation to the update with Hubble. And obviously, Lisa's the you know, the project lead on the... on that particular field, and you know, I think she's been saying lately she's had some really good engagement with them, and it's, you know, as fans, it's good to see that 360 feedback available. You know, obviously they're going to release these kits, they're brand new to Everton FC. I always like it when a new kit manufacturer comes in and a brand new kit. Sometimes it's like the start of a new era. And we've obviously got Carlo Ancelotti in charge. You know, we've got Hummel, who you know, have got some history in football, well, a massive history in football. And, you know, something unique to Everton with Alan Bull there. So, you know, it could be a really exciting time for us as Blues, having Hummel on board and having someone who are willing to engage with the fan base and understands what it means to be involved with Everton Football Club. Because let's not mix our words. We're here. Everton are a massive football club. Hopefully we start showing that on the pitch under Carlo Ancelotti. So it's great to have someone like Hummel involved who sees like that. And understand the history of what Everton is about, like our fans do as well. And I was just going to say to you, actually, in terms of kits, obviously we know you mentioned that the home kit might, you know, we're expecting pre-orders in July, so
yeah,
many times soon on that. But we've had some fantastic away kits over the years. Well, I'll go round to everyone. What's been your favourite away kit colour or particular kit? Kieran, I'll start with you, seeing as we've started with you on the topic.
Yeah, I always go with the traditional, like, amber and blue. To me, that's Everton, you know. Yeah. And when I think of that kit, I always think, or them colours, should I say, I always think back to the 03-04 season. Every time I think about that kit, the Puma one, I think of seeing Rooney and Big Dunk in it all the time. And then, I mean, we flirted with them colours in the years gone by, haven't we, with the... We had the night kit 2013-14, and that was a brilliant kit, that one. But yeah, I really like them. I mean, we've had last season's white one. I really like that one as well. To me, it looked like it was inspired by the 95 white kit we had as well, but I don't know whether it was or not. But yeah, the amber and blue really sticks out to me, and I think if it was my decision, that would be our away colours every season.
Yeah.
Should be nailed on.
Just to clarify, Kieran, for the slightly older listener, maybe, when you say flirt, you mean engagement.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don't get the wrong end of the stick there on that one.
So, yeah, when he's mentioning Hummel flirting, he means Hummel have been engaging. Just in case you think Kieran's got a thing going on, like the CEO of Hummel or what have you. We'll clear that
I up. Wouldn't mind, like, to be fair. Then I would make sure it was amber and blue every season.
Steve, obviously, how would you perceive, what was your favourite away kit with Everton?
Amber shirt, blue shorts, amber socks, white boots.
White boots.
You can't beat it. It's traditional Everton. It's
Hummel
just
white boots.
Hummel white. It's just Everton. You know, everyone knew Everton when they went away.
Yeah,
he played in amber and blue. Played in amber and green once. They had green shorts. It was away at Chelsea. They were done it when he played in it once. He got beat 1-0. But
that's why it only happened once.
Yeah, it looks almost like Norwich, but it was amber blue all the time, any day, and the third kit white, the way it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
can't beat a bit of tradition, and I think, you know, obviously it brings back some memories, doesn't it, no matter what the age of the year, even at certain times that have gone before. Tony, what about yourself, mate? Are you going to say stars and stripes and stuff, or?
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly, exactly. And a bandana as well, or a sweatband, you know, a headband.
Yeah.
With a mask on.
It's going to sound a bit dull, this, but the yellow and ambers are it for me. And I think that's, you know, I can remember when I first started going, my dad first started taking me in sort of, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, and the, you know, the Umbro sort of diamonds all the way down the side, you know, the arms of the kit. You know, that for me, that was, it was just, you know, it was part of the whole experience of becoming, you know, whenever Tony, I remember the, you know, the yellow shorts, which didn't quite match the top. Was part of it. I'll tell you one thing as well. Like, remember those days, they didn't have numbers on the back. And although this isn't an away shirt story, you know, I used to think I was Graham Sharp when I was a kid. And I asked my mum, and she ironed on a number 9 on the back of my home shirt from a vest that I had. And the story on that was, is it went pink in a wash. So I had to pretend I was Graham Sharp in the street with a pink number 9 on my back.
we weren't as good as that. So my mum used to get a bed sheet and draw a number out and then cut it out and then sew it on for us.
But that is, it was sewn out of a vest, it was. But yeah, no, that yellow one again, it was just because, I know, I can remember, you know, just sort of being blown away by just going to the match with my dad when I was little. So that's always stuck with me.
So, Hummel, if you're listening, we've got a resounding amber kit. We need yellow or amber, whichever.
What about you, Dave?
Well, you know, I wouldn't disagree with what you've said, lads. I love the 98 one with the kind of blue-black fade with the stripes. I do like, admittedly, the old salmon pink and black stripes as well from 92, when Limpar was knocking around 92, 93. Mm-hmm. I was around, I was only dead young then. But I remember growing up and my dad taking me to the game, and that's kind of one of my memories of growing up. But that's more of a fair kit rather than a second. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree with the amber or yellows the second. So lads, if you're listening, make it happen. in relation to the retail side of things, the shops, we've had an update, haven't we, today? The shops are opening back up, aren't they, Kieran?
Oh yeah, they are, yeah. So, unless you've seen it on Twitter already or anything, but the Everton 2 shop in Liverpool 1 is set to open on the 1st of July, and the main store, Everton 1 at Goodison, is set to open at the 16th of July, which is some good news, just in time for the release.
And just in case anyone didn't know, the Everton 2 store, that's the one in Liverpool 1. Everton 2, Liverpool 1. So just in case you didn't know.
You had to get that one in, David, didn't you?
I went for a walk around Stanley Park the day before the derby, actually, just to get a bit of fresh air for the old mental well-being. And I noticed the store wasn't open because I was tempted to pop in, but I hadn't checked when it was open. So yeah, it's good to see that's open and back up safely now, and we feel like we're getting somewhere. Stevie, we've had a good update actually in relation to a local supplier as well, haven't we? Obviously, with the news about Homebait. So, I don't know if you want to say a few words about
that. I think Jazz led on this, and for the match days now, when we were talking about, like, you know, maybe the fan zones and what we can bring in, we wanted to try and keep it with local companies, so we got Homebait in. Which I just think is great for the community as well. It's a local company, and give them a chance to get involved with the club and make some money for themselves. You know what I mean? Keep it local and keep trying to source everything around Goodison. It's great. I just think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I think it. You know, we are the local club, aren't we? The community club. Although, you know, we want to venture out on the worldwide support front. But especially in times where it is a bit more challenging for businesses now, it is nice to see that we're pumping money back into local businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, let's not, while we're still talking about this, you know, let's not forget, you know, we still support the food banks as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. The guys there, they just do fantastic work. To Robert Daniels and Dave Kelly, you know, from... from sunrise to, you know, if the lads are putting in the hours helping people, and it's great to see. So I think that, you know, there's a good message there from Mrs. Exo as well, that they're willing to work with local companies. So I think if anyone is wanting to obviously follow in home baked shoes as such, I think if they get in touch with the fans forum, it's fair to say that we'll push the agenda towards the club and to Sodexo on their behalf, won't we, Stevie?
Yeah, definitely. And Jazz Barlow's the chair of the forum. He's running with the, I think he's running with the catering side, or he ran with the catering side of it on behalf of the forum. So he's got all the touch points there.
Sounds. So it does. There's some. I tell you what, there has been a lot going on, hasn't there? It's only when you kind of talk about it like this, you realise how much we've. You know, I know we've all been meeting quite a lot in lockdown, haven't we?
Yeah.
Stevie, I think you can say as well, can't you, mate? There's just been so much going on behind the scenes and all these meetings, and you know. It's,
oh yeah, 100%. I mean, there's never a day goes by when the WhatsApps aren't pinging, and you know, and. You know, even down to yesterday, where this young kid was terribly accused of doing something that he never done, the forum was right onto it. You know, we've been onto the club already to see if there's anything we can do to help this kid. You know, what that must have done to that poor kid is unthinkable.
Yeah, no, it can be a dangerous place out there now, and you know, it's. His only crime has been an Everton fan. And he's been, you know, his pitch has been roped into that situation. Obviously, if you've seen tonight to the full echo, it was the lad who was wrongly accused, a 17-year-old. So, yeah, you know, fantastic young lad, a blue, and I hope he's all right. And, you know, it's horrible what's happened. But, yeah, no, we certainly have reached out to the club to make them aware, and they are aware of the situation as well. So, the other news that we've had... has been Bramley Moor, obviously an issue close to all our hearts. It's going to be a sad day when we leave the old lady, but you know, we are all, you know, wanting a bold new future of trophies, Carlo Ancelotti winning the lot, and a great new stadium on the Royal Blue Mersey. So Tony, I'll probably ask yourself on this, do you want to just provide a few updates, what was discussed on the meeting in relation to Bramley Moor? Because obviously there's been a bit of to and fro on social media that we've seen, and there's been a few updates on social media.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of an understatement. I think Twitter went haywire, didn't it, after Dan Mason. It appeared to sort of throw out what was a bit of a cryptic tweet, but I think it then threw everybody into overdrive, didn't it? Sort of trying to interpret, you know, was it about him? Was it about Everton? Was it about the future of the stadium? Mm-hmm. So I think that coincided with our last meeting. So, you know, we used that to sort of, as an opportunity just to get, you know, a sense from the club as to, you know, are we on track? What was the score in terms of, you know, the actual designs and the involvement of, you know, Dan Mason, one of you. And I mean, I think the main bit of feedback we got is that from a staging perspective, you know, the process is still ongoing. The application, the planning application's in, we're still waiting to hear that. And, you know, there's no change to that situation. And, you know, it appears to be, you know, is still on track. And I actually saw just before we jumped on this call that, you know, Joe Anderson's reiterated that again today, hasn't he? That, you know, despite COVID and despite whoever is going to be, you know, sort of part of the architectural team moving forward, you know, that, you know, we still expect the stadium to proceed as it is. So I think that was it was just an opportunity for us to test that, because I think, you know, I think people were a bit unsettled that it actually meant that, you know, apart from not having Dan involved, that it was actually going to, you know, impact on the stadium. So that was sort of reassuring to hear that. So we'd have to keep tabs on that. And I think the other thing was that Dan had, you know, I think he'd connected with the club so well, hadn't he, and the fans, you know, and it was before my time, obviously. But, you know, Steve, I know you and Kieran and some of the other forum members. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think people just like sense that he got us as a club, he got the fan base, you know, his designs and the way he engaged with us. So I think, you know, I think people were sort of, you know, personally disappointed. So, you know, that you know, it doesn't look like he's going to be involved now. But I mean, I'm, you know, not an expert on these things, but you know, I understand that, you know, you can sort of have a, you know, a design architect that sort of gets the plans in place, and then, you know, the company, I think it's Lango Rourke, you know, then they decided then to appoint a technical architect, which then takes sort of the next phase of the, you know, the actual sort of building forward. So again, not an expert on that, but that's what I understand and you know what's been explained to us has happened in this situation. But you know, I've heard it said on other pods as well. But you know, I think you know Dan's connected with us in a way that you know, I don't think we could have ever envisaged. And you know, he'll always be sort of part of what we've done for sure.
Yeah, and you know, from what I can gather, it was always part of the plan to, you know, the architect does it to plan and stage, and then you'll bring it, you know. Yeah. So, from what I'm gathering, pattern being brought in because, you know, the British regulations for building and things like that, you know what I mean? It's a shame, as you say, Dan's not going to be on board. But he's done his bit, and that legacy will always be there. That was his design. Lango Rock and Patton are going to build it.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think, you know, I'm not surprised that people got, you know, a bit anxious about it, because this is, you know, we've been here, you know, numerous times before, and this is, you know, such a big moment for us as a club, and actually for the city as well, isn't it? In terms of, you know, the regeneration opportunities that it's going to provide, and you know, in terms of that, especially when, you know, we look at, you know, what might happen post-COVID and the sort of economic fallout. So, you know, I think it's natural for people to want to know what's going on. And, you know, and that's why we raised it with the club at the meeting, was to just sort of get an update on that. So, you know, they got that and sort of shared that detail with us.
And it'll be nice when the plan of admission finally gets announced, because, you know, at this present time, most Blues need a lift.
100%. We won't say why.
I've got to go now.
I'm going down that rabbit hole. Bring that back. So in relation to any other business, just to summarise a few of the other things that were mentioned, obviously there was the season ticket deadline. A lot of people, we've been getting a lot of traffic online asking about that. And it will be announced before the season. Obviously, the club have been very good pushing it back. And what leads nicely into that, Jazz raised on behalf of the forum. He asked, basically, in light of the government changes with the 1 metre rule, should the opportunity present itself, would fans be allowed back into the stadium? Where are we actually at with that? And then, obviously, you know, we talked about the challenges that may have. Obviously, as Blues, I think we've just got over 32,000 season ticket holders. So our stadium, the old lady, is kind of weighed down with season ticket holders, because we all want to get in there and pay our money to watch, you know, the team. So there's a lot of challenges there, because we've got a lot more season ticket holders than most clubs. So that will be, you know, factors, you know, to take into account there moving forward. And then the fact that, you know, a lot of families go together, you know, same households, groups of friends, and they all sit by each other. So, you know, there was that kind of distancing in place, that it's something that now is being put on the agenda as an open item. And we'll, you know, we'll keep revisiting that for the fans. So we're on top of that. Have any of you lads got anything to add in relation to that?
Not really, no. I mean, I think you've covered everything there, what was said.
Definitely, Steve. It just that it is one of them things. It's a lifestyle, isn't it? You know, it's a family. It's what we do as Blues. It's community. It's everything that makes us who we are. So I think we're all definitely missing that. And you know, if you can listen to one thing from this, everything that you're feeling, we're making sure the club know about it as part of the fans forum. That's what our job is. We'll continue to do that, you know, and you know, you can guarantee that we are putting your best interests and all your questions and opinions towards the club, and representing you how we should be. So we've started a bit of a theme as a forum with our podcasts, and we decided that as the voice of the fans, that we also wanted fans' voices and fans' music to see these podcasts out, because at the end of the day, the fans matter more. The fans are what is important to Everton Football Club. There was a story that happened behind the scenes in this lockdown, which was Claire Stranger-Ford, who had that uplifting song in the street, where she, you know, she whipped out a violin, she was playing Z Cars, and it, you know, it was a beautiful rendition. It not only lifted their neighbours who were all out clapping, you know, I think it spread right across social media. And a few Blues, you know, have brought tears to their eyes at the right time. So Claire's going to be seeing us out today. Claire is a talented musician and she also does weddings as well. So it's only right that we mention a business, being a local musician and a local businesswoman. Her website is violinforweddings.co.uk. So she's a Blue. She's a fantastic musician. And over to you, Claire, to lead us out to Zedcars. Hopefully, we will all see that in person, right in the centre of the grounds when we are back at the Old Lady.